Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How y'all doing today? Okay, good. What'd you say? We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, if you want to turn there. But I'll put it up on the screen for you to start with. We've been doing a study through the book of the chapter 11 of Hebrews, the Hall of Faith, and kind of looking at the different personalities and the different people there that lived a life of faith that were included in that Hall of Faith. And we're kind of coming toward the end of our journey. We have just really a couple more studies. And Patrick did Samuel a couple of weeks ago, and that was a great study. He talked about Samuel and kind of gets to the end of his life, and it was a life well lived, and he held on to his faith, and he held on to his conviction, and he finished well. And I think that's a good example for all of us to emulate. Last week, Norman taught about being built for eternity, how, you know, we are, that's what God has planned for us, but it depends on where we're going to spend that eternity, whether with him or separated from him, depending on our faith in Jesus. That's the bottom line. So today we're looking at Hebrews 11, 32. What more shall I say? Time will not allow me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. So we're going to look today at the prophets. Now, that sounds simple enough, right? The prophets. We're just going to talk about the prophets. And to be honest with you, I didn't think much about it, but I, you know, started looking at it at the beginning of the week. And as I looked into it, I was just like, I was overwhelmed by what came out of just that phrase, the prophets. When you look into the scripture and people who, you know, make lists of things, the number of people who were prophets in the Old and New Testament, depending on, you know, there are different criteria that they used to number them. And that one said there was like 88 different prophets. Another said 133 different prophets. And then there are groups of many, many more that get added to that. It's incredible. The word prophets is used in the scripture 237 times. The word prophet, singular, 235 times. So this is something that's huge. You know, prophesy 60 times, prophecy 42 times. This is immense. I mean, when you have something that's repeated over and over like this, we need to pay attention. Like, well, what is this all about? So when he said it here, you know, time will not allow me to tell you of all these things. And then he talks about the prophets. That was a total understatement, right? He didn't have enough time to get into all the prophets and all the things that they said and all that they meant. So let's ask the question first, what is a prophet? And a very simple definition is this: one who speaks God's truth to others. There are really kind of two different facets of this. One is forthtelling, where you're telling forth the truth, and another is foretelling, where you're telling something that is yet to happen. We think of prophets only of, you know, sometimes only of telling things that are yet to happen in the future, but prophets also spoke the truth to people in a lot of different ways. Many of the prophets and the prophecies that we read, especially in the Old Testament, well, and in the New Testament as well, would apply to that specific time that they were living in, but also had application to times in the future. That's interesting. Sometimes you'll read a prophecy and it'll apply directly to them, but it also had application to the future events that were going to take place. Now, one of the biggest and most important things I wanted to say today about this is that we want to differentiate. I think it's important we differentiate between the prophets and prophets. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. There was this category. There was this class of prophets. And here in Hebrews 11:32, he mentions the prophets. And I think there is a sense where the prophets are those that were foundation laying versus those who were building on the foundation. That's a big, important thing for you and I to understand. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says this, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." Speaking about the church. But notice what he says here, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. You see, there's this foundation that the apostles and the prophets laid, and that foundation does not change. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 10 that we need to be careful how we build on that foundation. God gave him this foundation of the truth of who Jesus is. But he said this, he said, "No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus." Then he talks about being careful with using good materials to build on this foundation. So the point is, there's this foundation that the church, that the truth is, that we have has been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Another scripture, and I've got a bunch of scriptures for this for you this morning, and I hope you can kind of keep up and follow with me. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says this, "You must understand that no prophecy of Scripture," and notice it's prophecy of Scripture, "came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along or moved by the Holy Spirit." You see, there's this sense that they were given these words from the Holy Spirit. But this is where our scripture has, the prophecy of Scripture has come about, you see. Again, so there's this category, this differentiation between the prophets who have given us this foundation that we now build upon, that sets them apart from any other that might fall into this category of prophet. Stay with me, please. So God has spoken. God has given us his word. We're going to talk more about false prophets in a little bit. But God has given us his word, and he's used people to do that. Prophets who we see, they either wrote the scripture or they appeared in different parts of Scripture, the prophets of different categories. You know, some that, you know, you would never think were categorized as prophets, but clearly they were, and some of them are clearly called that. But let me just mention a few. Abraham, Aaron, Miriam, Moses, Deborah, Samuel. We know, you know, we know guys like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. We know these guys are prophets, obviously. We know about Elijah and Elisha. But so many others fulfilled that role of being a prophet in the scriptures. Jonah, John the Baptist was considered a prophet. Anna. But who was the number one prophet? Jesus, number one prophet, Jesus himself, obviously. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, said this, that the prophets were extraordinary ministers of God, sometimes to announce judgment, sometimes to promise mercy, always to reprove sin, sometimes to foretell remarkable events known only to God, and, take note of this, chiefly to give notice of the Messiah. Ultimately, it all points to Jesus. Ultimately, it all focuses in on Jesus. Jesus, the number one prophet. All prophecies, you know, point to him ultimately. You know, like that saying, you know, all roads lead to Rome. All truth leads to Jesus when it comes to the human race. Without Jesus, we really have nothing. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that this gospel that he promised beforehand, how? Through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son. It's all about Jesus. He talks later there about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It all, again, focuses in on Jesus. When Jesus spoke to his disciples in Luke chapter 18, it says that he took the 12 disciples aside and he told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, they will insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." The prophets, talking about who? About Jesus. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him, that is in Jesus, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. It all goes to him. It all focuses on him. Why do I make such a big deal about that? Because when we think, some of us have seen, some of us have experienced, even in our world today, this quote-unquote prophet, but they have a very different message. And that's why there are so many warnings about false prophets. And the message really kind of points to themselves rather than pointing to Jesus, the Savior. Paul, in Acts chapter 28, he met with a very large group of people, and it says from morning till evening he explained and he declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some of them were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They just would not believe. This is a kind of something that is true. We have the truth. And again, prophets and prophecies are speaking the truth to us. And yet people are not willing to listen. One of the prophets that we're familiar with, Isaiah, it says in Isaiah chapter 30 this, that these are rebellious people, deceitful children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. You have to be willing to listen. But this is what they would say. They say to the seers, "See no more visions," and to the prophets, they would say this to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel." This is very reminiscent, isn't it, in the New Testament where it talks about, you know, itching ears. And that's exactly what they were saying. Don't tell us hard stuff. Tell us stuff we want to hear. Tell us the stuff that will make us feel good about ourselves. Nehemiah, he said these words. It says in Nehemiah, it's like a prayer to the Lord. He says, "But they were disobedient and they rebelled against you. They put your law behind their backs. They killed your prophets who had admonished them in order to turn them back to you. They committed awful blasphemies." The prophets, they only had one goal, is to turn people back to the Lord. But they killed them. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to hear. Jesus himself said it in Luke 13. He says, "You, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." The Word of God, again, This is a huge subject, those who speak the truth, forthtelling and foretelling, but we have to be willing to listen. Now, one of the things that becomes very, very clear when you look at the lives of those who were the prophets in the scripture was not an easy life being one of the prophets. Acts chapter 7, verse 52, it says, "Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him," Jesus, the Messiah. So it was not an easy life being a prophet and speaking forth the truth, and I don't think it's any different today. However, as I'll talk about in a few minutes, this idea of those that come along and self-proclaim prophets, they're living a very different lifestyle than what we see in the Scripture. Another thing about prophets is that they had to be 100% accurate. No room for error there. Deuteronomy, it says, "If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him." And Jeremiah said it as well, "But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true." So to be a true prophet of the Lord and one of the prophets, you had to be 100% true. Now we see this here in Hebrews chapter 11, this phrase, really two words, the prophets, they're in the hall of faith. Why? Because it's a walk of faith, it's a life of faith. These men and women who were the prophets that God has spoken through, that God has used to build this foundation that you and I have here in front of us, this scripture, this Bible, this book that we build our lives upon. Now, having said all that, how long did that take me? I don't know. The question some of you are wondering about, and I think it's a very valid question, are there prophets today? What do you think? Are there prophets today? There are. Absolutely there are. But not like the prophets. Again, that's why I made a point of differentiating between the prophets and those who would have this gift. It's in a much more minor sense, though. But they're still speaking forth God's truth today. Still speaking forth God's truth. Acts chapter 2, speaking about the prophet Joel, it says this, "Now this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men..." Oh, I don't like this. "Your old men will dream dreams, if you can sleep. But he says, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy in the last days." And I believe we're in the last days now. Some believe, and it's probably true, I think, that we're in the last of the last days. When you look around what's happening in the world today, do we need God's truth today? Absolutely do. How many of you know who Danny Gokey is? One or two of you. I read an interesting thing. Danny was speaking with somebody from CBN News, and he says this, that it said that Gokey believes there's a responsibility to speak about what's right and true and good. He said we should never get away from speaking the truth. Truth sets people free. He said, ultimately, Some people will try to skirt what's biblical, real, and true, but humanity can't escape the facts and realities surrounding God's will. So, you know, he said we need to have the truth that sets people free. So I do want to speak truth. I want to do it in love, and I just don't want to hit people on the head with it. So do we need God's truth? Do we need the truth of God in today's world? We absolutely do. Absolutely do. God has given to the church. Ephesians chapter 4, it says, He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Some call this the fivefold ministry or whatever, you know, but there are others who say, well, this part of that doesn't apply today, but this part does. But you know what? God's truth is God's truth, and these offices are true today. Now, you look at this idea of apostles, and I think the same principles that I've been applying apply to that as well. There were the apostles, right? Nobody will take their place. Nobody will be in that same category as them. But the definition of the word apostle in the Greek language is sent one. One who is sent, right? And so are there people who are being sent out today in the name of Jesus? Absolutely there are. Now, what I have a problem with, and I think what probably you also would have a problem with, is those who take the titles, right? Well, I am an apostle now because I have done this and I have done that. I have a real problem with that myself. But that doesn't negate the fact that God sends people out to speak forth truth, that God uses people to in this world to speak forth truth. And as Danny Gokey was saying, you know, we have many that are pulling back from speaking truth in a world that is devoid of truth. People who are not willing to stand up and say, listen, that is just not true at all. This is what's true. Some of the insanity that is in our culture even today, it's just insane. But you and I are called to speak forth the truth, and it's what will set people free. So, prophet, are there people who are functioning in that role today? Yes, they're not building the foundation, though. We have to be very clear about this. There's no new revelation, especially any that contradicts the word, the scripture that we have, this foundation that we have, because God doesn't contradict himself. The guys over at Got Question, this is what they said, prophetic ministry today is preaching the Bible, the scripture, accurately, clearly, speaking forth of the written word, not the relation of new information from heaven. This is kind of what we see. We have people taking this title of prophet. It's just insane. It doesn't line up with the scripture. It doesn't line up where, you know, like I said, it wasn't an easy life being a prophet, speaking forth the truth. These guys, you know, in their private jets and you know, mega-million-dollar, lifestyles. This is not what the Scripture talks about. I read this interesting article. I'll just read the first little part of it in crosswalk.com. This writer says this: I sat in a local church in my hometown shortly after 9/11, where a self-proclaimed prophet had come in to conduct a three-day revival. It was not my church home, but I was curious as to what a prophet would have to say in light of the recent events. Besides, I was still unsure about the whole prophet thing. Did they still exist, or did they become extinct with the Bible days? From the time he stood up front until I walked out about 15 minutes later, nothing about this guy felt right to me. He was silly, flamboyant, nothing like I expected a sober-minded prophet to be. He stood in front of the congregation promising blessings, prosperity, healing, everything your average American wants more of and none of what they don't. There was no mention of sin, repentance, confession, or obedience, just one blessing after another. This person got up and left, but the rest of the article goes on to affirm some of the things that I've been saying here today, that wasn't what the Bible has in mind about being a prophet or speaking forth God's truth. And so this writer, she goes on to affirm, yes, God is still doing things in the world today, but be very careful. Be very careful. 1 Corinthians 14, let me quote to you, Paul says this, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So there is this ministry, and it brings strength, it brings encouragement, it brings comfort. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we need to be careful. Paul says this, do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good. So we can take that, viewpoint, well, I'm not going to listen to any of that stuff, but we could be missing out. And don't treat them with contempt. If somebody is speaking forth the truth of God in our world today, we need to test it, though. We need to be very careful about it and not just take everything, because they said, thus says the Lord, or because they say, God told me to tell you, you need to be very careful about that. Well, I'll ask God and see if that's what He is telling me, because, I need to test it. The Bible says test it. John says it, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I think it's dangerous when people are giving this kind of directive prophecy, personal directive prophecy, where God told me to tell you that this is what you need to do. Well, okay, thanks for telling me that, and I'll pray about that. But again, it's kind of this attitude where God is telling me what to tell you. And it's kind of the way it's presented as well. This is what you got to do. I much prefer if someone says, you know what, I felt like God was giving me this verse for you, and take it for what it is and pray about it and see if maybe it's something for you. I appreciate that kind of attitude much more than somebody saying, this is what, hammering me with something like this. False prophets. The Bible talks about it a lot. Jesus talked about it, didn't he? What did he say? He said, watch out. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They don't come to you saying, I'm a false prophet. No, they look like a sheep. But underneath all that, they've got ferocious wolves' teeth. I think one of the big things, and I'll kind of move on from this, is a little play on words, right? That if the prophet is looking for profit, watch out, right? Because that's kind of what it is. To tickle the itching ears, why? So they can make more money off you. I don't know, if you look at some of these prophets in the Old Testament, again, they were killed, they were murdered, they were persecuted. They weren't, rewarded. Their reward, and the scripture talks about this, they didn't even receive in their lifetime it was yet to come. But Jesus said, you know, you get, if that's what you're going to get, you get it now because you're not going to get it later. So, I'm running out of steam. I'm running out of notes here. But I want to finish with a couple of scriptures because, you know, we've talked about the prophets. And you know, we got to be practical in this life, right? I'm a practical kind of person. I think we need to be practical. And Jesus was probably one of the most practical people that lived on the planet and taught. But he said this in Matthew chapter 7. So in everything you do, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. What do we call that? The golden rule. He says, for this sums up the law and the prophets. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? The golden rule. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Sums up the law and the prophets. How you live. How you live. How you treat other people. And then later, Matthew 22, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But notice he says this, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Isn't that interesting? All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus gives us a guide, gives us practical stuff. Starts off with love, loving him and loving one another. Are there prophets in the world today? Yes, there are. But let's not get confused with the prophets, because some of these people, they've confused themselves thinking that they are one of the prophets, and they're not. They're not. But we can always go back and test anything by what we have from the book that was given to us by God's Holy Spirit. Let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth that you've given us. I pray, Lord, for boldness in our lives to be those that would speak forth your truth in this world that is in a very bad way, in a very bad direction. And Lord, we're troubled by it. We're depressed, really, by what we see going on around us. But I pray you give us boldness. I know that in the book of Acts, they were given by the Holy Spirit boldness to speak the truth. Give us that boldness, Lord, to speak the truth in this world, this dark world that needs you. And may we point to Jesus. May we live our lives for Jesus, and knowing that it all points to you, Jesus. We need you. We love you. We give our lives to you. We can't make it without you. I pray, Lord, today for any that have never surrendered their lives to Jesus, today is a good day for that. Give your life to Jesus today. Simply open your life and don't be one of those who are willing or not willing to listen, but open your heart and say, Jesus, I need you. I want to live forever with you. Forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing.